Ms. Kent, I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really glad that you're here this morning. This is a great time of year. It's a wonderful season for us, but it's not really Christmas yet. We have the season that is called Advent, which is a preparation for Christmas. Sometimes that's a little bit of a difficult move for us to make because everything around us has gone Christmas already, but we're still kind of looking forward to and anticipating this. And I'm also really excited about the way this fits in with the series that we've been doing. We've been on many months now. We've been doing Dwelling in the Word. We've worked our way all the way through the Old Testament. And now we're kind of at this interesting place where we're going to kind of straddle both Testaments, because we see that in the Advent season, we spend a lot of time looking at prophets who are at the end of the Old Testament, but they're looking toward the New Testament. And so today we're going to have a little example of that. We're going to listen to Isaiah first, and then we're going to go to John 1 and see how these two passages kind of straddle between the Old and the New Testament. So as we prepare to do that, I just want to offer this prayer to you. The Lord be with you. And I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 first for our first reading, Isaiah 9. So we're in the Old Testament. We're kind of back to kind of in the middle of the Old Testament, if you can find it there. And there's Bibles in the chair. You can look it up, or else look it up on your phone or your device. Isaiah 9. I'm going to read just a few verses from this passage. First, I'm going to start with verse 2, Isaiah 9, verse 2, the same verse we heard at the candle lighting. Isaiah 9, 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And then jump down just a few verses to verse 6, because it explains who that light is. Verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is God's word, and it's true, and we can rely on it. So we're thinking about light, and the first thing I want to note is that all light is not created equal. Anybody get a chance this week to look at the sunrises or the sunsets, especially early in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Anybody get to see them? How would you describe them? Yeah. Wow, that's how I mean, you know, indescribable. I mean, the color's so vivid and powerful and intense, and you couldn't capture it in a photograph, and there's no way you could recreate it in a picture. The color is just so, the light is just so vibrant. It's wow. That's the only word I have to say for it. You have to see it with your own eyes. So those of you who missed it, missed something spectacular. Okay, Christmas lights are a little different kind of light, right? But if you see a really great display of Christmas lights, you want to go, wow, there too, don't you? I love Christmas lights. We actually took a little survey to see what kind of expression of Christmas people really like. And we found that on this little survey, by far, like 75% of the people who voted said they liked the songs of Christmas. That's what they liked. And then about 10% liked the lights of Christmas. Only about 1% said they liked gifts as an expression of Christmas. So I know one of two things. Either you were lying when you answered that, or you weren't a kid when you answered that thing. So a lot of people like songs, but some of us really like lights. I love Christmas lights. I like to go see a really great display. And you have to see them for yourself. If you can see them with your own eyes, that's great. But here's the next best thing, seeing them on YouTube, okay? So I have a little Christmas light display I'd like you to watch. And so go ahead and hit it now.
synchronizing the music and choreographing it. That's amazing.
Wow, huh? That got me some ideas going maybe for next year for Christmas for me. If you can do fireworks with your Christmas lights, that is got to be something else, okay. Also, as I was watching this little clip, I got to wondering if maybe sunsets might be even better if you could orchestrate a little music maybe and some fireworks. I don't know, a little Alleluia chorus while you're watching the sunset. I don't know, that might help. Not all light is created equal. So at the opposite end of the spectrum of like, wow, is the light that comes from my clock radio on my nightstand. It's a little greenish glow that if I'm having a restless night, it's just enough light to keep me awake. And if I have to get up in the middle of the night, as I often do, to go to the bathroom, it's not enough light to keep me from stubbing my toe on the dresser. So it's basically a worthless kind of light. And I don't think there's any way to improve it. I don't even think playing music to this light would improve it. Unless maybe if you played the Darth Vader theme from Star Wars. Dun, 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 dun. Then I'd know there's some bad thing coming as I shuffle across my room. Not all light is created equal. And the Bible actually has a lot to say about this. It has a lot to say about the kind of light that is shining into this world and the difference that that light could make. And that's what we want to do between now and Christmas. We want to build up to understanding the kind of light that the Bible talks about. And we're not just looking at any light. We're actually going to focus on the perfect light. Would anybody here be interested in discovering what that is? Well, you gave it away already. Thanks, Selma. We're going to look at how the Bible develops this idea of light and how that perfect light can really make a difference for us and for our entire community. So, let's start in Genesis chapter 1, okay? Here's another kind of explanation about light. Genesis 1 starts this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, good job. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. Now, this might be a huge understatement, maybe one of the great understatements in all of the scriptures. God says light is good. Yeah, light is pretty good. It's pretty much essential for life. There'd be no life without it. Light is eminently preferred to darkness, right? This passage is not merely talking about this contrast between night and day. It's actually a beautiful poetic description, and it's trying to contrast the difference between living in light versus living in darkness. It's actually contrasting good and evil in its use of light and darkness. So we instinctively kind of get this concept, don't we? That light is better than dark. We understand that light is good and dark is bad. We've got some kind of common expressions that we use for this. If someone's going through a very difficult time in their life, we sometimes refer that to that as the dark night of the soul. That sounds bad, doesn't it? When we worry about trouble coming, we say there's dark clouds on the horizon. When we're talking about our longing for hope and longing for things to get better, we might say, it's always darkest right before the dawn. Or we might try whistling in the dark to chase away trouble. If there's any history buffs here, you'll remember the expression that was used to describe the situation right after Hitler's armies had conquered France and they were poised to go into England. What was that time called? The darkest hour. We get instinctively that dark is bad, and it's got all kinds of connotations of evil. Before God created light, The world was nothing but dark chaos. It lacked order, it lacked shape, it lacked meaning. It's described as nothingness. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Light was God's first step to shape the world, God's first attempt to bring order to something that had no order. God shaping the world is good. God giving meaning is good. God eliminating chaos, that's good. God creating order is good. God overcoming evil, that's good. And the first step toward all of this goodness was light. That was God's first step to bring goodness. The story of light breaking into darkness then becomes a key feature of the entire story. You can read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation with an eye to look for light and the difference that light made, and you'll find that it's very common. One of the places where it comes up most notably is with poets. They seem to like this. So the psalmists were writing about light all the time. I'll give you a few examples. Psalm 18:8. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. God turns my darkness to light. Psalm 19:8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 36:6. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Psalm 76, you, O Lord, are radiant with light. You are majestic with brilliance. That sounds like the kind of light that would make you go, wow, that's light. God is light, brilliant, majestic light, and he shines his light on us so that we can find our way. This is the kind of God that we serve. We want to see that kind of light with our own eyes. We read about God shining light on his people when they were facing a particularly difficult time when we get to the books of the prophets, as we spent the last few weeks here, and we saw that they were experiencing dark days. They were experiencing days of idolatry and infidelity and anguish and wickedness and despair and discouragement and hopelessness and unfaithfulness and compromise and adultery and greed. It was dark. And in that context comes this promise from the prophet Isaiah. The people living in darkness will see a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. This is actually the same thing that Matthew uses to describe Jesus when Jesus arrives. He uses this promise from Isaiah 9, verse 2 to say, look, the light has come. You were walking in darkness, but now the light has shined. Jesus came to shine his light into the darkness. The birth of Jesus, as we heard earlier, was marked by a star. This brilliant light shining guided the wise men. This is from Matthew chapter 2. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, where is the one who's been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star. We saw his light. And we have come to worship him. When Jesus was brought to the temple just a few days after he was born, he was presented for dedication, and the prophet Simeon was there. When Simeon saw Jesus, he took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people. And he said, I can die now. Dismiss your servant in peace. I've seen this perfect light. John draws this same conclusion just a few chapters into his story of Jesus. This is the verdict. John 3, light has come into the world. The light has come. Jesus himself, just a few chapters later, says, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That sounds like a light you want to see with your own eyes, doesn't it? the light of life. These passages and others invite us to embrace this perfect light, to welcome it, to celebrate it. Jesus, the perfect light. Anybody here need a little more light sometimes? I guess that fear of the dark is a sometimes common childhood fear. Anybody here willing to admit that as a child you had fear of the dark? Fear of the dark? Anyone? Okay. Sometimes as adults we still have it. Anybody willing to confess that? I still have the fear of the dark? Okay. I sometimes do too. I can still remember a time when the power went out in my house just a few years ago, and I had to navigate through the pitch blackness to try to find a flashlight. And as I'm wandering through the pitch black house with my hands out in front of my face to try to keep from bumping into things, I started to imagine that there was a boogeyman in my house. Ever have that? And it made my heart beat faster, which I guess verifies what the experts say about this, because I read some of them this week, and they said that fear of the dark is usually not fear of the dark itself, but it's fear of what the dark might be hiding. That's the real issue. What's hiding in the darkness? And another expert raised this question, which kind of caught my attention. Is it irrational to fear the dark? Or is it irrational to fear the things that are hiding in the dark? And my answer would be, no, I don't think it is irrational. Because there's bad stuff. There's evil. There's a kind of darkness that is terrifying. Darkness is bad. Light is good. The passage in the Bible that helps me more than any other to celebrate the light and to embrace it and to seek it is John 1. This is where we start to kind of span between the prophets in the New Testament, where we see the same kind of theme overlapping and all pointing in the same direction. Listen to these great words from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the Word. This is a beautiful testimony that just as Isaiah had predicted in chapter 9, that the people walking in darkness will see a great light, that someone is coming to prepare the way. John comes and he prepares the way, and he's exactly the same message. There's a light coming to shine in your darkness. And John says, it's not me. I'm just preparing you. But there's a light coming very soon to shine in your darkness. And we see just a couple verses later in verse 14 of John 1 who that light is. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw the perfect light in Jesus. Not all light is created equal. There is one perfect light, and that's Jesus. And you could go to Isaiah, or you could go to John, and you could find descriptions about what difference this light makes, about a light that brings justice, that sets right all that is wrong, a light that brings peace. They describe it as though this light comes, and it's like when war ends, and the implements of destruction and violence and death have been beaten into plowshares to raise a harvest. This is the kind of joy that comes with this light. It's like justice rolling down like a mighty river. It's like the celebration that comes once the grain bins are full and the harvest has been celebrated. This is the kind of joy that comes with that light. And Isaiah, as with John, makes it no question about who is it that brings this light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Perfect Light. And we are told, if we continue to track this idea of light through the New Testament, that we have an opportunity to reflect this light, that the light can shine through us into a world that's dark, that we can light up the world by reflecting this light. We're told to let the light of Jesus shine through us. And this is our goal for the month of December, modest little goal, that we as God's people would make the world a little brighter by reflecting the perfect light. Does that sound like a good goal? If we could just make the world a little brighter because we are reflecting that perfect light into the world. I was talking with a friend this week, and he said, I remember a time that was especially dark in my life. And he was describing a time when his daughter had been sick, and it had gone on for such a long period of time. He was becoming sick because she wouldn't get better. He said it was like a dark night of the soul. And one day, he got a call from a friend who lived like 800 miles away. And he was going to check on this friend and say, how's it going down there? And the friend goes, well, I'm not down there. I'm just 20 miles away at an inn. And I'd like to stop by and see you. I thought you could use a little friend. And I didn't call because I thought you would say, for heaven's sake, don't drive 800 miles just to come up here and see me. So he did an even crazier thing. He drove 800 miles not knowing if the guy was even home. And they chatted and they got together and they chatted and talked. And he said it was like light shining into his darkness. He said that years later, I don't remember what we talked about. I don't remember that we even spent much time talking about the particular trouble that I was in, he says. But I remember this. My friend was like a light shining in my darkness. And that reminded me of an experience I had a number of years ago in one of my dark nights of my soul. And I was sitting in my office one day, my brother from Des Moines showed up, completely unannounced. He just walked into my office. What are you doing here? He said, I knew you were having a tough time, and I just wanted to see you. And I don't remember what we talked about either, but I do remember that was like light shining in a dark spot for me. A little light. It made a huge difference. Now, we don't have to drive 800 miles or 200 miles to get a little light shining. We might be able to shine light just across the street, or right next door, or maybe in your own home to shine a little bit of light. So our hope is that we can start to reflect light in these very specific ways. I bought a guy a cup of coffee yesterday at Casey's. You'd have thought he won the lottery. It was a little light in his day. He didn't use those words, but I could just tell by his expression on his face that he was going to have a better day because of that little cup of coffee. Now, some of you are really good at this. You're creative. You think of things you could do right now. You've already got ideas of places you could go and things you could do that would be like a random act of kindness. You could just shine some light. Some of you maybe aren't quite as creative, so we've got a little tool for you, and it's in the bulletin. And there's it's got our normal readings, which are actually Advent readings for the next month. And on the inside, on this cover, there are some options there, just kind of like to stimulate your thinking. Maybe you can pick one of those, or maybe that'll stimulate some other idea. What we would like to do in the next month is we would like to perform random acts of kindness to shine a little light into the darkness, with the hope that by the end of this month, it'll be a little brighter around here, a little brighter around Cedar Rapids, around Atkins, around Marion, around Swisher. It'll be a little brighter because we're shining our light. Anybody up for that? Anybody here willing to go shine a little light in the next week? Okay, you pick one or make one up and go do that. There's been a few, you know, kind of brisk mornings lately, but I've continued to do my morning workout outside, so I jog most mornings. And so I've been outside, and I've been kind of cold. When the wind is blowing, it's like a cold slap in the face. But I got a certain course I run, and it often takes me up to West Post Road, and then I turn, and I'm kind of running in the shadows there, and then I turn like on Midway, and I'm turning right directly toward the sun. And even though the sun is usually really low on the horizon, this past week I could feel, as soon as I turned toward the sun, there was some warmth. It warmed me up, just a little bit of light. Not all light is created equal, but shining the perfect light of Jesus will bring a little light into a dark world that needs to be warmed up. And I can't wait to hear what happens when we shine this light. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning and we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for your Spirit who takes these words and applies them to our lives. And we thank you for your Son, the perfect light shining into this world. As I reflect on this, oh God, I recognize that there's times when my own life has not been all light, that there's been times in my life when I have been darkness, I've done the wrong things, I've thought the wrong things, I've behaved in the wrong way. God, I come before you right now to confess my own darkness and invite these good people to also confess their darkness. God, we do this not because this would keep us from your presence. We know that we're forgiven, but we want to clear the slate. We want to make ourselves a little bit better at reflecting. So God, we take these next few moments and we confess to you all those places where we have failed you.